Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
We serve and protect, and we have to protect ourselves and others. And like I said, the officers are trained, and they know how to react, and they do a good job.
After a Fleming County man was killed in a confrontation with Kentucky State Police, Trooper Aaron Martin says officers acted in self-defense.
Olive Hill may be forced to let a drug enforcement officer go in the face of a sizable budget shortfall.
And Moorhead State University is on the hunt for a new provost.
In sports, the Eagle basketball team is receiving high praise for their recruiting efforts.
Bud Luke has a check of your business world.
Mostly clear skies tonight with highs in the upper 50s. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A 46-year-old Hillsboro man is dead after being shot early this morning by Kentucky State Police. Troopers say Thomas McClanahan was killed outside his home on State Route 1013 around 2 o'clock. Trooper Aaron Martin is with the Moorhead Post of the KSP. He tells WLEX State Police and Fleming County deputies were responding to a domestic complaint, and McClanahan confronted them with a gun.
The male subject pointed his weapon at the officers. The officers returned fire. Male was transported to Fleming County Hospital and pronounced deceased there.
The victim's wife and children were reportedly inside the house when the shooting took place.
King's Daughters Medical Center says it is cutting 148 positions. The announcement was made today by the president and CEO of the Ashland Hospital, Fred Jackson. He says the move is the result of a decline in patient volumes and reimbursement levels. Tom Deering is a spokesman for KDMC.
When there aren't enough patients, there aren't patients coming in, you know, we have to adjust our levels down. One of the last things we want to do is have it affect staffing for direct patient care, and staffing levels for direct patient care wasn't changed. What we did change in some of the stuff today was adjusting down some other areas, like, for instance, in support, administrative, and supervisory areas.
In addition to the elimination of jobs, King's Daughters is also closing its Russell Family Care Center and Pikeville Family Care Center. Those facilities will be mothballed September 1st.
WKYT is reporting that the Fleming County School District has laid off 17 employees. The furloughs were announced during a school board meeting on Tuesday night. Tom Price is superintendent of the Fleming Schools.
It is devastating, I'm going to tell you. And it is always devastating to anyone that loses their job. This is the second time in this year that I've had to go through this.
Price says all people who've been laid off are non-classified personnel. He says the move was necessary to deal with serious financial problems in the Fleming School District.
Kentucky's unemployment rate rose to 8.5% in July as the state's civilian labor force shrank. The Office of Employment and Training says it's the third straight monthly increase in the jobless rate. Unemployment in June was pegged at 8.4%. The OET says the jobless rate has risen every month since April, when unemployment stood at 7.9%. In July, the state's civilian labor force was nearly 2.1 million, a drop of almost 8,800 from June.
State Representative Tanya Pullen says a lot of progress has been made over the past 3 years to help ex-military personnel find jobs in the private sector. The South Shore Democrat talked about the issue Wednesday during the National Conference of State Legislatures in Atlanta. Pullen chairs the Military Affairs and Public Protection Committee in the Kentucky House. She says the unemployment rate among veterans in 2010 was over 13%. However, Pullen says new figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics now tell a different story.
In the second quarter of 2013, most recently, the unemployment rate for post 9/11 veterans has dropped significantly and is almost, it's getting pretty close to being the same as the unemployment rate for non-veterans.
Pullen says that's a tribute to the efforts of the Department of Defense, Kentucky, and many other states have made toward finding employment for men and women who've served their country.
Top state budget staffers are predicting meager revenue growth over the next 2 years in the general fund and a slight decline in the road fund, largely because of Kentucky's slow rebound from economic recession. Government financial analyst Greg Harkenrider told a group of Kentucky's top economists today that collections from the individual income tax are projected to rise between 1.6 and 4% in the next two fiscal years. The income tax is the state's chief revenue producer. However, Harkenrider says the increase would be partly offset by projected declines in the coal severance tax and the cigarette tax. Those latest projections were presented to economists serving on the Consensus Forecasting Group, a panel charged with predicting long-term state government revenues.
With the town's budget facing a $60,000 shortfall, the Olive Hill City Council will decide next week on a proposal to get rid of the local Fiveco Area Drug Enforcement Task Force undercover officer. Councilman Alan Stapleton has suggested the move, saying it would save the city $40,000 to $45,000. Stapleton also believes an Olive Hill police officer could take over as the local undercover drug agent. However, fellow council member Glenn Mead thinks his plan is faulty. Mead notes that Fade's work in Olive Hill led to 150 drug arrests in the last 6 months, adding an Olive Hill cop couldn't work undercover because he would already be known in the community. Mead says the city also doesn't have the financial resources to make the situation work.
A drug buy can consist of a large sum of money to make a buy, and we just don't even have the money to offer a $20,000 or $30,000, $100,000 drug buy, where the Fiveco Area Development District has those funds through grants and monies that have been gotten through us from the state.
Mead is asking local residents to attend next Tuesday night's city council meeting to voice their thoughts on the issue.
An Ohio lawmaker is citing financial difficulties in Scioto County and other places as the reason the state needs what he's calling the Financial Responsibility in Government Act. Republican State Representative Lou Terrar says no government subdivision in Ohio should be permitted to operate its budget with deficit spending.
In fiscal emergency in Ohio, we have 24 political subdivisions, including the city of Galleon, the city of Garfield Heights, the entire county of Scioto County, the city of Mansfield, and the city of East Cleveland. In fiscal watch, we have three cities, the city of Lorain, the city of Norwood, which is in Hamilton County, and the city of Portsmouth.
Terhar outlined his bill during a press conference in Columbus Wednesday. His plan would require indebtedness undertaken by any political subdivision in Ohio to meet the total indebtedness restrictions and funding requirements that apply to state government. The proposal would also compel any local government sponsoring a pension plan to meet state actuarial requirements.
Morehead State University will soon begin the task of finding a new provost. After 6 years in the post, Dr. Carla Hughes was recently granted a sabbatical leave as she pursues her goal of becoming a college president. MSU President Wayne Andrews says the school is about to conduct a national search for Hughes's replacement.
And I expect we'll engage a search firm to work with us, and we'll follow our institutional policies and establish an on-campus search committee to participate in that process as well. I hope that and expect that we'll have a new provost in place July 1st of 2014.
Until the new provost is named, Dr. Gerald DeMoss will fill the job as an interim, on an interim basis. DeMoss has been retired after serving Morehead State for over 40 years in a variety of positions.
Kentucky's junior senator does not believe state laws that require voters to show IDs before casting ballots prevent minorities from voting. Republican Rand Paul expressed that view following a speech Wednesday to the Louisville Forum. Paul claims there's no objective evidence indicating that such laws suppress minority voting.
There was a time in the South when African Americans were absolutely prohibited from voting by selective application of bizarre and absurd literacy tests. And that was an abomination. That's why we needed the Voting Rights Act. But that's not showing your ID.
Paul says people are required to show their IDs for a lot of things now, including entry to most federal buildings.
Three major sewer projects get underway this fall in Lexington. They're part of a 10-year, $600 million overhaul mandated by the federal government. Crews will start digging around the Pimlico Parkway in a few weeks. Mayor York, who's with the city's Division of Environmental Policy, says workers will install larger sanitary sewer lines.
While this particular project, we may not be addressing sewage backing up into someone's home, again, this project will help eliminate a sanitary sewer overflow, which, when you think about it, is almost as bad, because when you have a sanitary sewer overflow, you've got untreated sewage mixed in with rainwater typically that is coming out of a manhole, and it's going down a creek, or in some cases, those manholes are located in someone's yard.
Sewer improvements also begin this fall near the intersection of Harrodsburg and Mason Heatley, and off Richmond Road in the East Lake area.
A Southern West Virginia coal company contractor faces charges stemming from a tax fraud scheme. Aracoma Contracting, LLC of Williamson, is charged with structuring cash withdrawals from its bank accounts to evade federal reporting requirements. U.S. law requires financial transactions of more than $10,000 to be reported to the Internal Revenue Service. Aracoma is accused of using the money to bribe 52-year-old Arville Sargent of Chapmanville, a former Brick Street Mutual Insurance Company auditor who allowed the company to underreport its payroll. Sargent and two principals for the company, 50-year-old Jerome Russell of Williamson and 58-year-old Freeland Workman of Belfry, Kentucky, pleaded guilty in March to charges stemming from the scheme. They are awaiting sentencing. Aracoma provided labor on a contract basis to coal companies.
And finally today, one businessman believes there is now enough support for a vote on alcohol sales in Louisa. The Ashland Independent reports businessman, attorney, and banker Gene Wilson says he believes a current petition has received enough signatures to file a request to vote on allowing alcohol sales within the city. Wilson, who owns the Best Western Plus in Louisa, claims the petition is just under 50 signatures away from having the required amount to file the request. He believes the sale of alcohol in Louisa could be an answer to the small city's debt issues and could preclude the need for an employment tax within the city.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bath, Fleming and McGoffin. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Saturday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain is 20%. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. Currently in Ashland, it is 79 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 74 degrees. Winchester, 77 degrees. Lexington is 76 degrees. Inez is 77 degrees. And in Moorhead, it is 74 degrees.
The time is 4:43, and you're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Joshua Grandison, sitting here with Kayla Hall. It's good to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Moorhead State University would like to extend a warm welcome to this year's incoming freshman class, who the majority of whom moved in today. It's good to have you all with us, too. On today's feature segment, Senator Joe Manchin began a three-day tour of West Virginia yesterday to talk with residents and business owners about job creation and the economy. One of his stops included the West Virginia State Fair in Fairleigh, and West Virginia Public Radio's Brian Allen was there.
Senator Manchin moved through the crowd with ease under the watchful eye of three state troopers. He seemed to gain more attention from the media, who grouped close around him, than the average fairgoer, save the occasional photographer. While the mood at the fair was light and fun, when I asked visitors about jobs and the economy, I got a variety of answers.
Well, I am worried, you know, because it takes two, but at this point, I'm just not sure what I'm going to do yet.
And I think nobody's trying to help it, though, kind of way, I don't think.
Because there's not much here, like, job-wise.
For me, it's okay, but I wish it was a little bit better. I know a bunch of friends that graduated with me that still haven't got jobs. I wish it was a little bit easier for everybody, just not me.
This messed up. Messed up real bad.
My gut feeling right now is we're not going to set any records this year, but it's been a great fair. People are starting to spend money again.
Economy, it sucks.
Oh, well, hey, it's in a downspin right now. Everything is in an uproar.
I did get a few minutes to talk with Manchin about the focus of his tour, Jobs for West Virginians. He still believes in a strong coal industry, at least for the next 30 years, along with developing the state's natural gas resources, tourism industry, and technology. He believes that an educated workforce and a revised tax code will bring business back to the U.S. and especially to West Virginia.
Jobs will come back. You have a stable tax system right now, I guarantee you, the jobs will come. The grass is not always greener on the other side, as a lot of these corporations might have thought. They'd like to come back, and it's the right time for us to bring them back. We get a good, solid tax system. We take away the freebies and all the offsets and credits and loopholes. You know, that's fair and competitive with the world. They will come back.
He also talked about introducing West Virginia to Sasol, a South African company which currently operates the world's only coal-to-liquids facility, producing around 30% of that country's gasoline and diesel fuels. Manchin said they didn't know anything about West Virginia and hopes they will visit the state. However, this plan may be controversial. While the Sierra Club reports that liquid coal produces almost double the amount of carbon emission as regular gasoline, MIT Technology Review reported in January 2012 on a new conversion process that's being developed by SRI International that has eliminated coal-to-liquids carbon footprint. Manchin also feels he has a better solution to balancing the federal budget than the financial sequestration approach of chopping with an axe.
Consolidate and eliminate. So if you have areas that we're doing two and three and four the same jobs, consolidate them more. Federal government puts out a report of all the waste that goes on in federal government. Nobody's acted upon it. We're introducing a bill right now that says that the president has to act within 10 days. Tell us what's going to consolidate or why he's defending something to keep it. We've got to have people more accountable for the amount of spending and the waste that goes on.
When I asked the senator if he had any plans to seek a higher office, he just chuckled and said he was going to stay in his present position and continue to promote the state and its people, pushing for cooperation between the people and their government. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Brian Allen in Fairleigh.
You're tuned in to 90.3 FM, WMKY, Moorhead State Public Radio. It's 4:47, and Chase Scott has been keeping a check of your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
The Eagle basketball recruiting trail is soaring high. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The Moorhead State men's basketball program has received high marks for its off-season work to replenish its roster. Hoop Scoop Online has ranked Coach Sean Woods' 2013-2014 recruiting class as the best in the OVC and the 75th best of the nation's 329 Division I teams.
You know, you need players to win basketball games, and it shows the resiliency and the hard work that my staff and I have been doing as far as being on the recruiting trail, and we've been able to attract some pretty good players. You know, now is the time to, you know, the next couple months to try to put it all together so we can have some success on the floor.
The Eagles added 9 new basketball players in the offseason, with 6 of them eligible for the upcoming season. The other 3 are Division I transfers who must sit out a year before they can officially join the MSU roster. It's time to put the brooms down for the Reds and get ready to play some more baseball. After finishing up their 3-game sweep of the Chicago Cubs yesterday at Wrigley Field, the Red Legs will open up another road series with the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. Todd Frazier gave a big effort in yesterday's shutout. He went yard in the top of the first, which is the first home run he has hit since the beginning of July. Frazier says he isn't out to hit home runs. They just happen when they happen.
No, I felt good. You know, I've just been trying to get hits, basically, and that's all really I worry about. And, you know, the home runs, they'll come eventually, but it's been longer this year. So just keep working, keep understanding your swing, and, you know, it's a good learning experience right now for me.
While the Reds were busy sweeping the Cubs, the Pirates and the Cardinals have been in a battle with each other. That leaves the Reds just 3.5 games behind first-place Pittsburgh and just a half game behind the Cards for second. Game time for tonight starts at 8:10. As just mentioned, the Pirates and Cards are currently in a battle, and the score in their midday game stands at 5-5 in the top of the 8th inning. There are 3 other games being played right now. The A's are at home leading the Astros 3-0 in the top of the 3rd. The Giants and Nationals are all square at nothing apiece in the bottom of the second, and the Angels are wrapping up their game with the Yankees as they lead by a score of 8-1 in the bottom of the ninth. It looks like Major League Baseball will expand its video review process next season, giving managers a tool they've never had. AP correspondent Shelley Adler explains.
If approved, managers will be allowed one challenge over the first six innings and two after the seventh. Calls that are challenged will be reviewed by a crew in MLB headquarters in New York City, and they will make the final ruling. A 75% vote by the owners is needed for approval, and the Players Association and umpires would have to agree to any changes. The owners will vote on the measure in November. Atlanta Braves President John Schuerholz, who's a member of the replay committee, says 89% of incorrect calls made in the past will be reviewable. I'm Shelley Adler.
Morehead State's newly named starting quarterback is not letting the promotion go to his head. Redshirt freshman Logan Johnson says he still has plenty of work to do before he's a finished product.
Just protection-wise, I think I need to get better at when we're in a bad play, getting us out, and making sure we're protected at all times, getting the ball out faster, things like that.
Johnson says it will also be his job to keep MSU's no-huddle attack consistently moving at high tempo. During his prep career at Letcher Central, Johnson threw for 5,422 yards and 60 touchdowns during his career, both school records. Head coach Marvin Lewis says the Cincinnati Bengals have had a good week of practice leading up to Saturday's preseason game at Paul Brown Stadium against Tennessee. Lewis looks forward to the contest, saying the Titans are a good team, and that's very adept to running the ball.
They seem athletic and execute well up front in the offensive front group, and that's good. We obviously have a great back in Chris Johnson, and their quarterback will move and extend plays, so that'll be great work for us. And then looking at the defensive front group, it's a strong group, explosive, good, athletic, and be a great challenge for us.
It's not certain if Pro Bowl receiver A.J. Green will play against Tennessee. He returned to practice just yesterday after going down on July 25th with a bruised knee. Green says the knee is fine, but he was limited to non-contact work on Wednesday. There is more football to be played tonight in the NFL's preseason. Taking a look at the slate of games, the Browns will host the Lions. The Panthers will head north to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. The Falcons will take on the Super Bowl champs in the Ravens in Baltimore. And the Bears will welcome in the Chargers. The Round County football team is headed to Bourbon County tonight for a scrimmage. Bourbon went 13-1 last fall, and Round coach Kyle Singleton is well aware that his team will have its hands full with the talented Colonels. But he thinks that's a good thing.
You know, I believe that you always want to scrimmage somebody that's got the talent and, you know, got the coaching to, you know, challenge your kids. And that's really the only way you can get better. You know, if you go out and scrimmage somebody that you'll just roll over, you know, your kids kind of get this false sense of confidence and you don't really see the things that you need to work on to get yourselves ready to play your schedule.
That schedule starts next Friday in Mount Sterling as the Vikings square off with Clark County in the Recreation Bowl. And finally, the Round County boys soccer team opened its 2013 schedule with a strong performance last night. Playing at Schuster Field, the Vikings manhandled St. Patrick's 8-0. Two quick goals by Ian Ray got the Mean Green off and running early. As good as his offense was, Coach Max Hammonds says Round actually missed out on several quality opportunities to put even more goals on the board.
Yeah, we do have a lot of missed opportunities, but overall, I mean, we put eight in the back of the net, so I was happy with that. I mean, you gotta capitalize on every opportunity you get. We didn't do that, but we capitalized on enough of them to win the game.
The Vikings play again next Tuesday when they visit Pendleton County. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a wonderful evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single-game tickets for football. Single-event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single-game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow had its biggest loss in almost 2 months as U.S. stocks were dragged down by disappointing earnings from Walmart and Cisco, which outweighed more encouraging economic news. Walmart actually reported lower than expected second quarter U.S. sales earlier today, and that report came on the heels of news from Cisco yesterday that sent its shares plunging as the network equipment maker revealed plans to cut 4,000 jobs, citing difficult economic conditions. And on a day when the broader market sell-off was the big story, it's worth noting that the exchange-traded fund for the S&P 500 was one of the top trending tickers on stock twits. And, of course, traders had a lot to say about stocks and a possible market correction on the horizon. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow was down 225.47, finishing at 15,112.19. The S&P 500 was down 24.07 at 1661.32. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 63.16 at 3606.12. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 26-4 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Gold was up 2% and oil was up 0.5%, so a strong day in the commodities markets. And the 10-year Treasury bond finished with a yield of 2.76%, up very sharply from yesterday's close. In Europe and Asia, markets all closed in the red, of course, that is a big reason why gold prices jumped, was the weakness in overseas markets. And on the economic front here, the U.S. government said jobless claims actually dropped by more than expected to 320,000, which was a decrease of 15,000 from the previous week's revised figure. The Labor Department said the Consumer Price Index rose 0.2%, in line with expectations. And, of course, the CPI is a key gauge of inflation. In individual company news, JCPenney shares rose after investment manager George Soros revealed the size of his stake in the embattled retailer. Kohl's shares also rose after the company reported a second quarter jump in revenue despite a drop in profit. The retailer also lowered its earnings forecast for the full year. Shares of Gannett slid after Berkshire Hathaway, the investment firm run by billionaire Warren Buffett, unloaded its shares of the newspaper giant. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $2 and a penny, finishing at 88.02. CSX down 14 cents at 25.16. AEP down 59 cents at 43.78. Marathon Petroleum down $3.02 at 70.67. AK Steel down 3 cents at 3.62. And Walmart was down $1.99 to finish at 74.41. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. With a $6 billion investment in our state and thousands of jobs at its Georgetown plant, plus thousands of additional indirect jobs through parts suppliers and vendors, Toyota is more than an automotive maker. It's an economic engine that drives the Commonwealth. Toyota Kentucky is online at facebook.com/visittoyotaky. Toyota in Kentucky, part of the economy.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Fleming, Menifee, and Morgan. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Saturday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. In Ashland, it's 79 degrees. Flemingsburg, 74. 77 in Winchester. 76 in Lexington. 77 degrees in Inez. And it is 74 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Asaho Soto, and as always, Dan Conte. From West Virginia Public Radio, Brian Allen provided our feature segment this afternoon. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. It's 5 o'clock.